Okay, so we said in the Gemara Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, we were trying to explain the machlokas between Ramei and the Chacham in the Mishnah. Again, in the Mishnah, we said that there is a question about how exactly can an Eved release himself from slavery? How is he koning himself back? So the Mishnah said that there are one of two ways, either using Kesef or using Shtar. Now, Kesef, we said that both of these things were machlokas between Ramei and the Chachamim. According to Ramei, Kesef is to be done al yidei acherim, and according to the Chachamim, Kesef can be done even al yidei atzmo. So Gemara tries to figure out what's the yisod of machlokas over here between the Meir and the Chachamim. So Gemara first suggests perhaps the machlokas between the Meir and the Chachamim is whether you say en kinyan le'eved below rabo or yesh kinyan le'eved below rabo. So according to the Meir, who says that the kesef can be used to release an eved kanani from slavery as long as it's al yidei acherim, that's because he holds it cannot be al yidei atzmo because en kinyan le'eved below Rabbi. The Eved cannot be koneh anything without it going directly into the pocket of his master. And the Chacham disagree, and the Chacham say, no, you can use even Acherim, even Atzmon rather, to release himself from slavery for using Kesef, because the Chacham are of the opinion, Yesh Kinyan LeEved below Rabbi. An Eved can acquire something without it going into the pocket of his master. Okay, so now, how exactly would that work? How would you be able to pull that off? So Rashi explains for the Shita the Chachamim, and that is because if other people gave him a matana, so since there's das acheres makne, those are the people doing it and giving it, so he specifically, when he was giving it, he had in mind that it was supposed to go to the Eved. So the Gemara says, the Gemara turns away from that mahalach though, and suggest an alternative to Mahalchim. First, we have Rabbah quoting Rav Sheshes, and then we have Rav Elazar. Rabbah quoting Rav Sheshes suggests that really, no, everybody agrees that Ein Kinyan LeEved below Rabbah. Nobody thinks that an Eved can actually acquire anything without going into, at least normally, without going directly into the pocket of his master. So then if that's the case, how is it going to be, according to the Chachamim, that an Eved should be able to become himself, to release himself from slavery, bekesef ayde atzmo. So Rav Sheshes explains that really the yisod machlokas over here is in the following scenario, where somebody is makne money, and he says, I want this to be on condition that your master has no rishus over it. So the question is whether that works. So according to Meir, Meir says, such a tanai does not work. And according to the Chacham say, no. Chacham say it's perfectly fine that the Tanai is effective. And that's why the Chacham say that it is possible to do, to be kona es atzmo, bekesef ayde acher. That's the opinion of Rav Sheshes. Rav Elazar comes along and says, no, that's not true either. Everybody agrees that whatever an Eved is kona, his master is kona. So what exactly, in what scenario are they actually disagreeing? So Rav Elazar explains, Machlokas here is in a scenario where somebody says, I want to give this money specifically for the purpose of freeing the Eved. The question is whether that works. So if it's being handled through the Eved, the mayor says, well, once the Eved is koneh, it just goes directly into the master's pocket. So the almanas doesn't accomplish anything. You can't say, I want this to go, I'm perfectly happy to give this money on condition that it goes directly towards the freedom of this slave. But the Chacham say, what are you talking about? The Eved isn't being koneh anything. The Eved is being given this it's being processed through the Eved, it's being channeled through the Eved, so but it's meant for the purpose of being given to the master for the freedom of the Eved. And so that's not a real kinyan on the Eved's part, and so this works. And that's why the Chacham say, the Chacham would hold that such a Tanai would work. So what emerges from the Gemara is that there are three mehalchim as to explaining the machlokas between the Meir and the Chacham in the Mishnah regarding kesef ayde atzmo or kesef ayde acherim to release an Eved Kanani from slavery. The first suggestion was that the machlokas between the Meir and the Chacham revolves around whether we say en kin le'eved below rabo or yesh kin le'eved below rabo. Rabo, quoting Rav Sheshes, said, no, everybody holds en kin le'eved below rabo. An Eved cannot be koneh anything without it going into his master's pocket. And so the question then is, so how is it that according to the Chacham, it's possible for an Eved to be koneh himself using kesef? That's because somebody else provided the money and said, I want this money to be yours and only yours, and I want this to be on condition that your master has no right to it. So Rameir thinks that such a Tanai works, and the Chum think that such a Tanai does not work. Rav Elazar comes along and says, no, everybody agrees about that case as well. Everybody would agree that Kani Eved v'Kani Rabbe. So what exactly is the debate over here? The debate is where somebody else is makne money and says, I want this to go specifically for freeing the Eved. The question is whether that works. Rameir says such a Tanai does not work, and the Chum say that it's perfectly acceptable, it is effective, the Eved is not being kind of thing, such a Tanai does work. The Gemara then says, though, so what's coming out now is that according to Rameir, a person, some outsider is able to provide money in condition, I don't want this to go to your master, or I want this to go specifically for, I don't want this to go to your master, I want this to be specifically for the purpose of freeing you. And according to the Chachamim, a person is able to make such a Tanai. Gemara then says, well, the problem is that there's a Tosefta in the 7th parak of Ma'aser Sheni that sounds not like that. The Tosefta discusses a scenario. What happens, we know that halacha is that a person is supposed to eat his Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim. He's supposed to schlep his Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim and eat it there. Let's say he doesn't want to schlep all the food, all the produce that he has. He doesn't want to schlep it to Yerushalayim, so he can be poded. But when it's the owner who is poded, is redeeming his Ma'aser Sheni, so there's halacha that there's an when he transfers the value of the Ma'aser Sheni, the kedusha of the Ma'aser Sheni onto money, there's like a penalty chomesh that that he's going to have to add on. And that's only if it's the owner, though. But if somebody else, if he's selling it to somebody else, or if there's somebody else who's been doing the pediyah for him, not for him as a shliach, but if it's not somebody who's redeeming his own stuff, so then there is no chomash. So the question is whether a wife is able to somehow be podem ma'aser sheni without there being a chomash. In other words, the assumption, anyway, is regarding a case of whether a woman can go out into her husband's fields and take care of her of his ma'aser sheni and be poda it. So is it possible for her to do that without there being a chomesh involved? So according to the Tanna Kamma in this Tosefta, the answer is no. It's not possible for a woman to be poda ma'aser sheni without paying this chomesh. According to Rav Shimon Elazar, he quotes from Rav Meir as holding, no, it is possible for a wife to be poda ma'aser sheni without there being a chomesh. Question is, how do you find such a scenario? Under what circumstances do we find that it's possible for a wife to be put in Ma'aser Sheni without there being a chomesh if she's dealing with her husband's crops? So the Gemara says it can be that it's her husband's money and it's her husband's ma'aser, because then she's really nothing more than a shliach, right? She's using her husband's money to be put on her husband's ma'aser, so that wouldn't work. So the Gemara says, and it can be that she's using her own money to be put her husband's ma'aser, because it doesn't work that way. The pasuk says, "Vim ga'ol yiga'al ish mi ma'asro." The pasuk says specifically, a man is one who's put his own ma'aser, not a woman. So the Gemara says, so must be the scenario that we're talking about over here. If somebody else is makna money to his wife, and he says to her, I'm giving this to you on condition that this be used specifically for being poda ma'aser sheni. Now the question is, does such a Tanai help? So according to Meir, apparently it does. She does have her own unique holding on this money. Such a Tanai does work, that she's able to be poda the ma'aser sheni without there being a chomash. According to the Chum, they clearly seem to hold that such a Tanai does not help because the money goes directly into the pocket of her husband. So the problem with this is that it sounds like Rameir is saying that this Tanai is effective, and according to the Chum, the Tanai is not effective. This is contradictory to what we concluded before, at least according to Rav Elazar, that according to Rav Elazar, we said that Rameir holds that a Tanai, that the money should go through the Eved to release himself, so such a Tanai should not work, and according to the Gemara, such a Tanai does work. So what's going on? So there's two answers that the Gemara suggests. The first one is Abaye. Abaye says, just flip around the Shittas, so that there's no steer between them. And Rava says, no, don't flip anything around. I'll explain to you, there's a very big difference between the case of Ma'aser Sheni and the case of the Eved. Why? Because over here we're dealing with not her husband's own Ma'aser Sheni, that we're discussing Ma'aser Sheni. How did she get this Ma'aser Sheni? Her father died. Her father died and left her a whole bunch of Yerusha. Within the Yerusha that her father left her was a bunch of Ma'aser Sheni. Now she's Yorish that Ma'aser Sheni. And so, now typically the way that it works with Yerusha that a woman receives, after she's married is that it takes the form of nechse malug, and so you use the money to buy karka, and then her husband is entitled to eating peiros. However, over here what's going on is we're dealing with Maaser Sheni. We know that there's a machlokas between the Meir and the Chachamim. What's the status of Maaser? Is Maaser considered Mamun Hektish, Mamun Gavoa? It's Mamun that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or do you say that no, it's considered Mamun Hedyot? So Meir is of the opinion that Maaser is Mamun Hektish, is Mamun Gavoa. And the Chachamim hold, no, Maaser Sheni is Mamun Hedyot. So who cares? So the Gemara says it's because Meir holds Maaser Sheni is Mamun Gavoa, and therefore, if it's Mamun Gavoa, this doesn't have the typical status of any other money that a woman receives. And so Chazal didn't entitle a man to this kind of money because this is Mamun Gavoa money. It's not regular money. So a husband has no right to the payros of such money. And that's why Meir holds that this Maaser Sheni can be independently hers. And so when she uses her husband's money to redeem this Maaser Sheni that she received, they're two different things. And so she would, there would be no Chomish involved. But according to the Chum say, no, Maaser Sheni is like any other money. And therefore, when she inherits something, her husband automatically is entitled to the peros of that of those nechasim. And if that's the case, if she's using her husband's money now to redeem these peros Maaser Sheni that he has a right to, so there is going to have to be a chomesh. So just to summarize quickly, we said there was a machlokas between the Meir and the Chachamim regarding whether kesef can be used to release an eved. An eved kanani is that kesef ayde atzvar, kesef ayde cherem. We had three explanations in the Gemara to explain the machlokas between Rami and the Chachamim. But finally, the Gemara concluded with either Rab, according to Sheshes, or of Elazar's opinion about either whether you can use a Tanai to say, I want this money to go to you on condition that your master has no right to it. Or, according to Elazar, the machlokas revolves around a case of where somebody says, I want this money, I want to be maked this money, but on condition that it goes directly towards redeeming yourself. And that's the machlokas. According to Meir, that tonight does not work. According to the Chacham, that tonight does work. The Gemara asks a stira based on Rameir's position regarding Maaser Sheni and a Tosefta. Meir seems to say that a person can make a tanai, that a woman, at least the way that we understand this case, somebody can make a tanai, that money should go to a woman specifically for the purpose of redeeming Maaser Sheni. So how do we resolve this stira? Abai says just flip around the positions, and Rava says no, Maaser Sheni is a different story. According to really what's going on over here, Maaser Sheni came because she inherited it. And now it's going to assume the status of Nechsim Lug, and the question is whether her husband is entitled to the payers of those Nechsim Lug. So according to Meir, who says that the Maaser Sheni has a status of Mamun Kavoa, her husband has no right to that, and therefore there's not going to be a chumash when she uses money, her husband's money, to redeem this Maaser Sheni that she inherited. But according to the Chum, they say, no, Maaser Sheni is the status of Mamun Hedyot. And so when she gets around to redeeming the Maaser Sheni with her husband's money, she's going to have to pay a chumash.